good to be back. I wasn't here the last two Sundays. I hope you all miss me. And I miss you, I don't know. And the last 2 weeks, we were in Toronto. And we have been to Toronto before. And part of the reason we went back there is so that we can show our daughter how great Canada is. And Canada is more than just Vancouver. And for the ones who have been there, you understand what I meant. And Toronto is a much bigger metropolitan. 7.5 million people around, 7 to 8 million people. It's a big city. And it's kind of a bit like LA. And so we stay in downtown most of the time. And the traffic there is just crazy. So we did not rent a car, except for the first few days, so we take the public transit. So there are a lot of walking. So I'm in really good shape now. I walk 8 hours a day. And so one time we were trying to take a bus to the St. Lawrence Market, which is sort of not along the subway. Subway is very, very convenient. So we take a detour actually from where we stayed to the bus stop, and we waited for 20 minutes. No bus came, so so we keep checking the site, and he said that the bus is coming, but no bus after 15 minutes. So we decided to walk. So after we walked for half an hour, and we passed all the cars there, and all the cars just stuck there. So we passed all the cars, and then the bus slowly come behind us, and so the traffic there is crazy. If you think Vancouver is bad. So one of my problems when I have to prepare a sermon, and I will think about the sermon every day and every week, every month. So this sermon, because of my vacation, time away, so it gave me about more weeks to prepare. So for the last 4 weeks, I've been thinking about this sermon every day. So while I was walking in Toronto, so I kept thinking about the sermon today. Actually, the sermon today is about walking, and walking. It's about the Psalms of Ascent. Let us go up. And I think you have to bear with me. I tend to change my sermon titles the night before I give it, because I will dwell myself in it day and night, and then at the last minute, and then I find that maybe this is a better title. And I change my sermons all the time. Let us go up. And in the next few months, I'm going to be speaking on the Psalms of Ascent. Okay, so where's And there are 15 Psalms, starting from Psalm 120 to 134. There are 15 Psalms, and we call it the Psalms of Ascent. And these are the Psalms that the Israelite people will be singing while three times a year they travel to the temple in Jerusalem to give sacrifice and to worship God. So it is a series of psalms. It's a corporate psalms for family, for their nation, for country, and also individual psalms. This is a really exciting psalms, and as they travel, it's like their vacation, you know, to Toronto. I don't know how long they walk, it depends on where they live. So they'll be walking, and then they'll be singing and citing these psalms, 15 of them, Psalms of Ascent. And because Jerusalem is in a higher place than the most of the area, so they'll be walking up. So that's why we call it the in Chinese, it's called the Psalms of going up to the mountain to worship God. So these 15 Psalms, I hope you can learn from these 15 Psalms about walking up, going uphill to worship God. It is a Psalms for the nation, for the Israelites, as they travel, for the family, but it's also a series of psalms for individual, and it's actually our spiritual journey. If you find that your spiritual life has been in has been stagnant all these years. Maybe this is the Psalms that you need to focus on in the next few months to learn from. Because it is not only Psalms for the family to travel to Jerusalem to worship God, but it is also for each one of us individually, our spiritual life as we climb that mountain to the highest point where God is. So I hope that this series of Psalms can encourage all of us, including myself, to grow our spiritual life step by step. There are 15 of them. Some said that I've never been to Israel. Some said that there are 15 steps in the temple. So there are 15 Psalms from 120 to 134. I'm not sure. But it is definitely, when they travel, they're going up. A few years back, we went to Montreal. And there's this church, I think it's the Mount St. Joseph Church, right? Is that anybody from Montreal? I think, yeah. So Mount St. Joseph, this is a huge church. And then if you go up on the two sides, there's the stairs, and there's a middle stairway. And I forgot all my French, 12. I took 2 years of French in high school, 11 and 12. So I had to look up the dictionary. There's some French words on the sign in the middle there. I know the first word, reserve. So it's reserved for the pilgrims walking up with their knees. So there are people, they go up those stairs, they're reserved for people who are coming up on their knees. And obviously we took the other step, walk up there by feet. It just shows how devout they are to come to worship God. And today, when the tourists go to visit the temple, and then there are, someone said that there are 15 steps. I don't know why. Next time you go there, you count for me. And then they will start reading and Psalms 120, which is the first psalm of the Psalms of Ascent. The psalmist in the first psalm here, Psalm 120. Psalm 120 is the first psalm that's before they start the journey. So it is very important. It gives us inspiration. So as they start their journey towards the temple, or as we get up and move on to our spiritual journey. So what is this the most important? So Psalmist is going to remind us here. Psalm 120, the first verse. Since we did not read the scripture, so can you all read these two verses? In my trouble, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. Okay. The psalmist in Psalm 120, that's before they start the journey. And it is a reflection. There are two things, actually. The psalmist is going to cry to God. The first thing is lying lips and deceitful tongue. Lying lips. And the word trouble here, and I look up the Hebrew, the word trouble here has two meanings. One is that you're being persecuted, pressured by people around you. And the second meaning, actually, is the first meaning when I look up the dictionary. By people is actually the second meaning. The first meaning is you are in an enclosed space, you feel this phobia. That the wall, the roof is falling upon you. So I guess in English we call it claustrophobia, kind of. You feel this pressure that you're inside a confined space and you can't get out. So when I look at the dictionary, actually, that is the first meaning. And the second meaning is when people persecute you and cause you distress. So the psalmist here is feeling this pressure from his circumstances, from the world, from people around, from his enemies who are persecuting. So he is kind of like in a confined space and he's crying out. So you have to understand and share the feeling of the psalmist. So he's in a way distressed a situation, like a phobia, and is crying out to God, "Help me, save me, rescue me." And he's talking about two things here in Psalm 120. Psalm 120 is the first psalm of this series. And also when they first start their journey towards God, their pilgrimage. And the first complaint that is crying out is the lying lips, the deceitful tongue of the people around. And today we don't have to go really far. And then we look at all the media, the commercial, fake news. But the media, the commercial is every day is bombarding us with lying commercials, deceitful commercials. I was checking up, and then in Britain, actually, they banned this commercial that you claim that if you, that's Julie Roberts. And if you use this makeup, you know, you'll be as the skin will be as smooth as the girl in the picture that you cannot even recognize, right? So this is actually banned in Britain. And I don't know how many of you actually bought a hamburger the size of the one they advertise on the left. All the ones I got is the more the one on the right. And actually, if you read the heading, there's an actual burger, most attractive angle. So that's what you really get. Actually, think about it, it makes more sense, right? The one on the left is so big that you cannot even chew it. And commercials, advertisements are deceitful. And in 2 weeks' time, you can not only lose 12 pounds, and even your skin turns white from dark. Right? Before and after. That's so exciting. Commercials, I'm still trying to find where I can buy this. Less wrinkles in only minutes. I'm sure you all want to buy one of these and try on. And I'm sure all the parents have this experience, though, when you go to the Toys R Us, maybe that's why they're going bankrupt now, and then you buy a box of a toy, and then what's on the box is what you see on the left, and there's a huge swimming pool. But once you get home, in reality, you know, you find that your kid's actually bigger than the swimming pool you bought. And what else I got here? Fake news, and I guess I mean we're all learning this new jargon now from our U.S. friends, and fake news. And the new thing I learned this week is actually this fake advertisement from Facebook's CEO. I was watching the news; he was making an announcement about this fake advertisement and fake lies, and everything is fake. So there is even fake fiction newspaper and non-fiction newspaper. So what do you want? You may be laughing, but I mean, look at our media and advertisement. We're surrounded nowadays. Even the psalmist, he may not experience what we experience today, but today we have to have a great discernment when we watch the TV, anything on the screen, the news, advertisement, media. FANG represents the four biggest IT stocks. F is Facebook, A is Alphabet. Facebook makes so much money that it scares you. I'm not trying to say that you should buy their stocks, but they make so much money come from, it's all from advertisement, Google. And we are bombarded with these deceitful thoughts, advertisements. And last night, and I was preparing a sermon, I always add things to it, and then I look up this, the corruption index of the different countries. Out of 100, 100 is a full mark, and Denmark and New Zealand score 90, so it's the least corrupted government in the world. It's pretty good. And Canada, actually, is not bad. I know there's one of us is from Singapore. Oh, Wolf is from Singapore. That's why Wolf is so honest. Singapore is number 7. So that's why we pick her as our pastor. And Canada is behind, number 9. Not bad. US, I think, is down there, 18 or 20. And some of us from China. China is fail, 40. 40 out of 100, that's a fail mark. Number 79. Just slightly better than India. So when we look at the government today, the country today is corrupted. Half the countries are corrupted. That's how terrible. And the media is not only giving us fake advertisements, false advertisements, but also influencing our children. When I visit the city, I always go to the museums. I try to visit as many museums as I can. I love museums because they're always cheap, and then you can spend the whole day there, and you can learn a lot. It's probably the best value. So we went to the Ontario Royal Museum, and I always join a tour. Because the tour, you always learn more from when you listen rather than you look at the picture, you look at them. So I joined a guided tour for 45 minutes, and I waited half an hour for the tour to start. And I was a bit disappointed because I was expecting the tour guide to explain to all this civilization. But instead, she spent half the time talking about the dinosaur skeleton. I thought this is a museum rather than a science world. And then you talk about how great this skeleton of dinosaur. I said, wow, this is real, this dinosaur? I said, no, this is made by 3D printer. I said, wow, okay. But it looks really real. And then she spent a lot of time talking about how human evolved from monkeys and all millions of years ago. And then by the time then we get to this display on one of the really beautiful stone painting, I guess, of a lion from Babylon. It is dated to the time of the king Nebuchadnezzar II. Oh, then I started to get excited now. This is starting biblical now. And then she said, time's up now. it's only 45 minutes. Now go and explore yourself. I said, what? So I was a bit disappointed, and I expect to hear about, learn a lot more about the civilization. But why then I got a lesson on evolution. But this is the world now. We're in a world that I can imagine if a children walk through there, what would they have learned? The world is deceiving, but yet sometimes we do not know. The scary thing is we're bombarding with false teachings on our children. But yet our children, I can see that I've been in Canada over 40 years now. I can see the school system change slowly, slowly. And our kids, that's why our kids are more and more different. But we have to stay to our Bible. Media teaches bad value to your children. So I read this article. It's talking about how the media is influencing how the wealth, how we should pursue wealth, materialism. We should get success at any cost, fame, and how the media, movies, news is influencing us. The psalmist is in a similar situation as we are today. And he cried out to God. You can see that he sees no truth in the world he lives in. But today, I won't say that all news are fake, but very often news are biased. So when you watch the news on the media, you'll be very careful. If you give discernment, you know that they're very often biased. They try to promote a certain agenda. So the psalmist here cried out. And then the next thing, he moved on. Not only that, he could not find truth in this world that he was living in. Just like us today, we're bombarded with all this, I shouldn't say fake news, but biased news advertisements. But the psalmist also see that he's in the world of violence. And let's read these three verses together, okay? Woe is me, for I sojourn in Meshech, for I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long has my soul had it dwelling with those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And then the next thing the psalmist turned to is violence. The two places mentioned here, they're actually 1,000 miles apart. So the psalmist here, this is a poem. So he's using it as a symbology that Mishhad is actually in north, near the Turkey today. And Kedah is in the desert down south. They're actually thousands of miles apart. But these two places, the people are very violent, the barbarians. They killed, they start wars, they kidnap people, and they trade people to make money. So the psalmist here is saying that when he looked around the people, the countries, the places around him, he sees violence, wars. He wants peace. I am for peace. The word peace here is shalom. So in the coming sermons, we have one sermon on shalom, peace. I look for shalom, peace, but they want war. So the psalmist sees that the world, he cannot see truth, and he cannot find peace. And today we are not that much different, isn't it? Canadians are more peaceful. And when we were in Toronto, we were lining up for ice cream, Cynthia, and Cynthia couldn't make up her mind, so we said that, so we let the couple behind, why don't you go first? And I couldn't decide. And the couple, the tourists, probably from the state, from US, and say that Canadians are so polite. And I said, yeah, sometimes that's our problem. We like to apologize, everything. Sometimes we think that we are polite, but when I came back this past week, and then I saw this on the news, and sometimes we are not that polite, and this is a world rage. I guess some of you have seen this on the news in the last few days. Well, it's the two drivers stop in the middle of the road and starting to argue, and then the guy on the right, I think, broke the window of the other car, and but the other lady is trying to charge at him. So I don't know who is right. But let's all share the role. But this is just one example, and we are not sometimes really peaceful people. But since 9/11, we know that the world is not the same. And before 9/11, and there are wars, and in the wars, either you die, and I live. But nowadays, is you die, I die, we both die. The world has changed. There's violence, and in the last 2 years, 3 years, we've been watching news on ISIS all the time, but now we're slowly forgetting that now, right? And I'm sure a lot of you have seen this picture on the news, this five-year-old boy, Syrian kid, he's building, got a bomb by the Russian airplanes, and he was rescued. And this picture has been circulated around the world, and people look at this, and the heart just hurts, isn't it? A five-year-old kid, and he was in the ambulance, he was totally lost. How violent have people turned? Now we don't worry about the ISIS anymore because they cannot send atomic bomb over to us. Now we worry about North Korea. Now one day they can send an atomic bomb over to LA and maybe by mistake drop it on Vancouver. We don't know. We don't know how accurate their missiles are. Maybe fall on Vancouver. Now we worry. Now we actually have a real fear now that the world may end in a nuclear war. And the U.S. said that, no, we can wipe out North Korea just by our submarines. We can wipe up from the map of the earth. So we are in a very violent world today, not any less than the psalmist. The psalmist looked at the world around him, and he was sad. He was in distress. People's violence. When we were in the Ontario Museum, I visited, there's a display called the Evidence Room. Has anyone been in there? No. It's part of the display there. It is, they made some models. I think it was just on loan, the display there. And some models were made from the Auschwitz concentration camp. I think that's how it's pronounced, Auschwitz concentration camp. So these models are full-scale models. And to the right is the gas chamber where they put cyanide gas to kill the prisoners. In the middle, there's a ladder and a hatch. It's for the guards to check if everybody is dead. So you know that the hatch is way high up there, so the people cannot climb out of that hatch from inside. Only the guards from outside on the steps can check what's inside. And then on the right-hand side, there's the door. There's a small hole there. It's all protected so that they cannot get air out of that hole. And I spent some time there contemplating and how cruel man can be, human can be. So I came back and I did some more studies on this concentration camp. This is the gas chamber. This is where the prisoners were poisoned to death, they will burn them. And in Auschwitz, there is a museum today. And they put all these 110,000 shoes there. These are from the prisoners. 110,000, probably not all. So in that 3 years, from 1941, September, for 3 years until it was liberated, estimated 1.1 million people, prisoners were killed there systematically in an organized, planned manner. So I divided the number of people killed. It's about 30,000 people killed per month. Isn't that scary? And how cruel can human be? Our history has progressed. Our iPhone is getting better. Lord, you're waiting for the iPhone X to come out. but the heart of people has not changed. The psalmist wrote this long time ago, and the people around him are lying, deceitful tongues. Today haven't changed. People are violent. They look for wars. Today haven't changed. So the psalmist here cry out to God. And that's the start of our spiritual pilgrimage. Here the psalmist is reminding us, we need to see that the world that we are in, that we do not belong. We need to see that the world we are in is not I won't say even perfect. It's not good, because when God is not in it, it's not good. It cannot be good. We need to see that the world we are in, I'm not saying that we have to get out of this world and hide in the mountain, you know, or in monasteries to pray, but we are in this world, but we should not conform to this world, but we should transform the world. But very often, we as Christians, we feel comfortable, especially in Canada, this place, we are so peaceful, everything so slow. We feel comfortable. Very often we conform to this world. We feel this world is okay. It's not the greatest place, but it's okay. But the psalmist here says that before you start this spiritual journey, you're walking up towards God. The first thing you do is you need to say no to the world. You need to see that this world is hopeless. You need to see that this world is full of lying, like before, today, and in the future. And there will always be war. Not that ISIS will be the North Korean, or we don't know what's next. It won't change. So the psalmist here is reminding us, the first thing we do is to get up, not to leave the world, but spiritually to abandon this world. We do not belong to this world spiritually. So Psalm 120 is the beginning of this Psalms of Ascent, this pilgrimage to God. We have to see that this world, we don't belong to it. We have to get up and walk. We have to say no to this world, but we have to say yes to God. And we walk towards God. And it's uphill. It's like walking up the steps. And we are going up. And Eugene Peterson, one of my favorite author. Professor was a professor at Virgin College, that this dissatisfaction coupled with a longing for peace and truth can set us on a pilgrim path of wholeness in God. And the beginning of this journey, this 15 Psalms, the beginning of our spiritual journey is that we have to dissatisfy with the world we are in. We cannot conform to it. And very often our spiritual life is in a stagnancy. We cannot move up because we are so comfortable with our surrounding. We are so comfortable with the world we are in. We are so comfortable that we do not want to get up and take this journey. This journey is pilgrimage. It's hard work. It's like kneeling up those steps. It's hard work. And in the coming months, I'm going to go through not all of them, but most of the Psalms of Ascent, step by step, how we walk towards God in this spiritual pilgrimage. Psalm 121 is talking about when we are walking towards God in this pilgrimage, God is our protection. Psalm 122 talks about our corporate worship. We worship together as a community. We walk this pilgrimage, this road together, not individually. Psalm 123 talks about how we focus on God. 124 is about community. 125 is we shall not be shaken by our enemies. Joy in serving God. God's blessings. 130. God will forgive. God's forgiveness. 131, trusting in our walk. And 134, and guess what it is on? About going into worship with God. So these 12, 15 Psalms is the journey for the Israelites walking towards the temple. But it's also our personal spiritual journey today. But before we can get up to there, get to God, the very first we have to get up and move on. And it is very, very difficult to get up, like getting up from your chair. It's very difficult to turn around and repent. And getting up means repent, because we see that the world is a deceitful world, but also we are also a sinner. We are also a liar at times. We are also sometimes not very friendly. So very first thing is that we have to turn around, get up, and pray to God that I'm a sinner. We have to realize that this world is not, we don't belong to this world. We are aliens and strangers. We are sojourners. And our citizenship is in heaven. And that's the first thing we have to realize, which is not always easy. Many years ago, my doctor, family doctor, and he's a very good doctor, told me that my cholesterol was high and I need to take drugs. I said, no, I don't like taking pills. So I said, I'm going to exercise. So next time, 3 months later, I said, you're still high. Have you started your exercise program yet? No, not yet, but give me a few more months. I will start. So 3 months later, I went back and said, okay, your cholesterol is still high. Okay, you have to take drugs now. Or else you're going to have health problems. And no, I'm not going to. I've decided now. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go and buy a pair of runners. So I went down to downtown and I went to the shoe store. I said, I want the best pair of runners. I'm going to run every day for 2 hours. And I'm going to grind the shoes into powder. So that salesman so excited. So he showed me all these $100 shoes. I said, okay, anything's on sale today. And I said, how about this pair here? You know, $30. And said, it looks the same to the rest. I cannot tell the difference. So I was happy to bought that pair of shoes home, half price. So 1 year later, and then I find that the shoe is still in the box. And so I asked my wife, do you think I can return this after 1 year? The receipt is still in there. It's really hard to get started. And Psalm 120 is about getting started. And before you can walk this journey, you have to say no to the world. You have to realize it. The world is just like you. Sometimes we are a liar. Sometimes we are not that friendly. We are a violent people. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. And that is our encouragement for everybody, and we have to get up and get going. And as we prepare for our spiritual journey, not until you can get up, you will never change. We have to be dissatisfied with the world we are in, with our spiritual status today. If you're happy that you are now, you will never be able to start this journey. We have to have quick discernment, be careful, and we have to make a decision that is hard. We have to make a decision that I'm not satisfied with my spiritual status today, and we are to focus our eyes on God's temple, on God, and we walk slowly towards. So let's get up and get going.